Ready?
No, it's still recording.
Okay. First of all, I just want to mention what a pleasure it is to have Rosh Yeshiva literally back on his feet this year. And we wish many years of good health.
Thank you.
The format will be that Rosh Yeshiva is just going to say a few words, an introduction or in summary. And then afterwards, Rosh Yeshiva, we will take questions either from the floor. A few people told me questions beforehand. If you want to write a question, then just pass it up to me. And you'd rather that I ask the question for you, that's fine too. Any format, Rosh Yeshiva is very comfortable dealing with all formats from all sources. So the Rosh Yeshiva.
Shus, Chairman. I just start with a vach from the Shiva Zatzal. It'll explain a little bit what I spoke about Friday, how you're supposed to look for things to do, how you're supposed to learn certain things, also in how to deal with chinuch. One of the things he asked the Kashi, why is it that the first mitzvah, Ech Matan Torah, is Eved Ivri? Eved Ivri, now, you'll say, like, I don't know, why not? Someone said to come first, I mean, whatever it is. But obviously, he thought about it first, is it or not? I mean, so why is it Eved Ivri? Because what is Eved Ivri? Eved Ivri, somebody steals, so the Beis Din sells him for an Eved for the money that he had to steal. So in other words, you're dealing with the highest degree a person could reach is Matan Torah, and you're talking about an extremely mundane avera of stealing. So he said that the ikar the person has to realize is that stealing is not a mundane avera. It's not an avera just because I don't have enough money and therefore I stole. I have a yitzhahara, I'd like to buy an ice cream, I'd like to buy whatever it is. And the truth is, most places, yeshivas, anything else, will have a kid that steals, and they find out the kid's matziv is a pretty bad one. In other words, he has no family that can send him any allowance. That's why you have the tats in all the yeshivas that they have to give everyone a couple of bucks to buy a soda, can do the laundry, give tzedakah. It can be like every other kid. And it's important thing that you can give him that confidence. And the truth is, it is a solution for stealing. But what you're doing is you're treating the symptom, not the machla. And this is how he explained it. In other words, a true maimon believes that everything that you have to spend is a nice of shaladim ksudim leim of Rosh Hashanah. Everything decided on Rosh Hashanah. So any thief that comes along, and not only a thief, any person that does any aver of mamonis, mechal shabbos, longs beribis, doesn't make a difference. Any aver that brings a mamonis obviously does not believe in the yisoy that the Rabbeinu Shlomo has given me the money that I'm going to earn. And his idea is, since God didn't give it to me, I'm going to take it. So the idea is, you think you can take something God doesn't want to give you. So that is a kaifa. Now you'll say, so how did you get away with it? You see, I stole and I got away. If you would have done it honestly, you would have gotten away with it also. You wouldn't have to work. And sometimes you don't get away with it. That's a raya. The Rebbeinu didn't want you to have it. So it didn't make a difference. You get caught before you even took it home. Whatever it is. So obviously, this is something that's treating the machla. So if you go into start teaching the hashkofis, to talk about the Amun HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will solve his ikir problem. The other way, all you did is postpone the problem. You solve the problem in yeshiva, whereas Yetzirah happens to be only a couple of bucks. Now all of a sudden, I tiny, we got a bigger problem in yeshivas. You know, there are yeshivas where kids smoke. Anyone have an idea what it costs to be a smoker? How about at least $50 a week? Right. Which kid gets a $50 a week allowance? Where's he getting the money? Okay, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just telling you that there's something obviously to watch out for. All of a sudden, and it's a basic Yetzirah. We're not talking about major Yetziraras. And if all of a sudden he gets a little older and whatever is Yetziraras, you haven't solved it by giving him the $5 for the sodas. You haven't solved the problem. You have to be oikid the mum from him. And this is really in all different types of things. Whatever the kid does, you have to find out if that's the real chet he's doing it, or it's just something that's caused by what he really wants to do. I'll give you one that happened in my time. May not sound so tzniestik, but I'll tell it to you anyway. It was in my, when I was a kid in yeshiva, must have been about 14, 15 in those years, used to have in the same class 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 6-year-olds. I mean, it's all the same class. Why? Because there wasn't the normal class, and then whenever the Menayel or the Shalochim used to go out of town, they would bring back people to come and learn from the Gifma out of town, and they would come in as 14 and 15, whatever they would come in, they'd be in the same classes. So obviously the Yetzirahs were a little bit different than other Yetzirahs. One guy used to go down to the docks to work as a longshoreman, or stevedore, whatever it is. That time was $20 a night. That was big money in the young. So he went down with $20 a night. And he came back, he didn't always get a job. So he asked him, what do you need money for? I want to buy a car. I asked a car. That time was above us, unheard of. Who buys a car? What do you need a car for? I want to take out some girls. What do you want to take out girls for? And I said, obviously you understand my maturity in the picture. So he says, so I can brag to my friends. Now all of a sudden, the Yetzer Hara was not money, it was not a car, it was not girls, it was gaive. And it's important to figure out these things, and every time you talk with a kid, you don't know what it is that's driving him. And if we hit the thing that's driving him, we may be able to fix a lot of things.
Okay, there's a menahel of a boys' yeshiva, like a cheder yeshiva, where he had an experience recently where in the seventh grade, three boys set fire in the corridor, and the other 15 boys just stayed there and didn't react in any way. So his shaila is, how should the administration react to this, to the 3 and to the 15?
It's the eagle all over again. Technical. I mean, you had an Erev Rav that did the Egel, and everybody else was sitting around doing nothing until Moshe Rabbeinu came down and says, Kol Hashem Elai, and they did something about it. Until that time, the trouble why it happens, and this is, I guess, which really has to be checked into, firstly, you have to know if these three guys cow the other 15. I mean, in other words, they're all scared to react because they don't want to get beat up at night, they don't want to have other things happening to them, whatever it is, or they don't want to be called squealers. There's many things that you have to figure out why they didn't react. But a major thing, even if they're good boys, let's say they're always trying to fix these kids up. And yesterday they turned over the desk. The day before they did something else, whatever it is. And they reported it to the principal. And the principal somehow didn't react as proper as the way they thought he should have reacted. So then comes a second time and a third time. And then they figure they gave up. There's no point in not doing anything about it because nothing's going to be done. So that's also you have to figure out how much is the administration's fault and how much is it the kid's fault. Now, if they, because they also participated, like in the making the ego, like in other words, they attacked Hur and killed Hur because they're Nam Sheyerif and they felt, you know, we have to have a Mokam Fashrei Sashchina no matter what you tell me, whatever it is there. So then they were guilty of building the ego. Of serving the ego, but of building the ego. That they are serving. So it could be that this whole Hefkeros could have been started, Machmas themselves also, by these 15, then they have to be punished too.
And the 3?
For sure.
What kind of punishment?
Let's be practical. What's going to happen to them? That's I think that's the first question we got to think about. You know, you mentioned the cheder school, so he says, I can get rid of him in the cheder school. Let him go down to the modern school down the block, you know, where all the other bums are. You know, that's what the Niles family is saying, something like that. You know, but the truth is, he's got to be realistic. I mean, are you killing the kid or not? Obviously, a punishment they must have. And the question, what's a punishment? You can kick him out for a week. Can take away certain schusim they have, if there is such a thing. in certain schools that they may have, that they go on trips, or they belong on a team, or whatever it is, they're supposed to get a prize because the guy knew the Masechta, whatever it is, and we're not going to give it to you now, because we only give kids with midos, not only with chochmeh, but has to have midos too, because you have to represent it of Torah, you're not it, whatever it is, there was something.
Again, for those who came in late, we take questions from the floor, or you can write it down if you want it from up here. Please, stand up when you ask this.
This is more to get at the camp, involved with the camp, and I have an applicant in school. It's a seventh grade boy. He lost his mother about a year ago, and he's gone through a lot, this boy. And one of the things that he has is a tremendous problem with Tourette syndrome, and in which I teach him Navi every day, and he will call out words, the Abiyah Boy Satuma, every word that there is in everything. So, whatever it is, I won't go. And the thing is like this, so the school, he goes to our school, whatever, but in the camp that we have, it's like a community camp, and it's got, Chadarim and everything. I'm just wondering if there is... If I can say because it's camp, I can say we don't have to take whatever, or should I take them on trial, whatever. This is according to the ways the psychologists and the doctors have said it's beyond his control. He cannot control himself, and yet the words that come out and whatever are unbelievable. We had for example, we had somebody who came over, came to visit, and we had forgotten to tell him. He was just walking through, and the secretary was just continuing, and this boy was calling out things, and they're always looking around. I mean, like, this is, he has to be, always, everybody has to be told about this boy. I'm just wondering if take him on condition, take him, not take him at all, he could still go to a day camp or whatever.
I guess in any matzav he's going to be, day camp or regular camp, he's going to cause problems. I mean, it didn't seem to be a problem because he's there 24 hours. The problem is because he can't control himself, was all it said. The only thing that bothers me is, and I can understand calling out, not being able to control himself, calling out. But why nibble peh? Why doesn't he call out brachas?
Sometimes it's part of the rest.
I have to hear... I understand, but you don't hear what I'm asking you. No, you're not hearing what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, why are these words in his mouth and not other words? That has nothing to do with Tourette's syndrome. Tourette's syndrome is a thing of not controlling a reaction. But the fact is that my action is always nivul peh, is something wrong with the kid, with the chinuch that he had, or the homeroom situation, or something, that he has such a vocabulary. If he'd have a different vocabulary, he wouldn't have that. So now we have him with a different problem. You're not dealing with the problem of Tourette's syndrome. You're talking about a problem of why is this kid involved with nivul peh constantly. Why is he? So obviously, when he's calling out, he wants to make a splash or some other thing. He wants to make an issue about something. Let's see what you're going to do about it. Let's see what you're going to, whatever it is. It's not such a pushy to me that I'm only calling out bad things. If you tell me he calls out sometimes bad things, sometimes, you know, throw him, tave him, and this and that, we don't know what's going to come out next. And then, that's
80 to 20, maybe even 90%
of the time. That's what I'm saying. So there's something wrong. So I'm saying, so therefore he knows that he has a tremendous vocabulary of nivul peh. And he doesn't have a very good vocabulary of the other thing.
I want to go back to what the Rav spoke about before, the concept of children stealing. And if the Rashid only dealt with the issue of it being a Yetzer Hara, and therefore being feeded with giving him more money or teaching him proper chinuch and how to deal with it, could it also be a sickness? I know there's a sickness.
It definitely can be.
And how do you determine whether it's a yetzer hara sickness, and if it's a sickness, how to deal
with it? Let me say something. I remember the Rosh Hashiva very clearly in this. In the thing, Rabbi Mintz was gach yedungim with him on this. He's our mashgiach. And they were talking about kleptomania. He says, Yarishanta. She's a crook. What it means, she can't control herself. Yeah. But the shayla, we all know, first of all, anybody that doesn't act like me is meshuggah. That we all know for sure, right? Every person in the room is going to say the same thing. So, obviously, we're all meshuggahim. So when are you called meshuggah? that you're potter for mitzvahs. When are you a shaita? So there's generalities of what has to be done. You have to be sheikh b'beis hakfaris. You rip things up when they give it to you. Whatever it is, but you break yours. When it says, when I always break yours, the other guys, to calm me down, I break yours. I never break my own. That's called a rasha. The same thing. I'm uncontrollable. I have a rage that's beyond my thing. But I'm not crazy. I'm a rasha. Because I know the difference between mine and yours. And it's always yours that suffers. That's called a rasha. So the same thing. You want to say he's not normal, and I agree with you. He's not normal. Hitler wasn't normal either. But he definitely was a rasha. He was not a kind of, including all the type of mishugasin that he had, that he was...
That was a whole different way to treat it. I mean, punishing such people...
I didn't say punishing. I didn't say punishing. I didn't talk about punishment at all before. I said talking about what the machle was. We're talking about being a kaifer as opposed to being in fact that he needs something and he has the yetzer to buy it. That's not the thing. Now, you're talking to me, but that he's stealing... But the thing is, obviously there's a need in his stealing. When it's not, nobody, even the biggest actresses that they caught sometimes shoplifting, where they have millions of dollars and they rob a lipstick and a couple other navishkeiten that they need. They didn't take a men's brush. They took what they need. And they just don't want to pay for it. That's a crook. You want to tell me that this crook needs more help than just punishment that I can hear. But it's a crook. Let's not give him a name that he's sick, and therefore we have to tolerate him. He's a crook.
What is the...
I don't know. We have to figure out what we can do with him. But society doesn't have to lie.
Is the yeshiva acting with yashris to a rebbe when paying a low salary, forcing the rebbe to accept state funding, food stamps, WIC, I guess? Not familiar, sorry. Health insurance. What if the school is relying on this outcome, justifying the low salary as if the state aid is part of a benefits package?
Don't laugh. There are many, many yeshivas. Not, and God, it's particular. I don't want to say it all. Okay. There are many yeshivas that do this. Not the ones you know, generally. But the many yeshivas are good. It's not such a pushy answer, because you have many things to understand. I remember this is a speech from 1960, and not that old. 1960, Rashiva was speaking at my nephew's bris, and he was trying to explain why the Kavod HaTorah is so bad in America. If you want you to understand what it was in that time, I did not yet start to teach. And I think that when I started to teach, it was a year after they had a strike in the school that I ended up being in, against where the president got up and said that you old guys don't deserve a nickel because all of you are incompetents, and if you were able to get a job like me, you become truck drivers at least, and you guys are going to, and we don't have to support you, you're only parasites of society. That was what the attitude was for the rebellion. I think we improved that attitude a little bit. Now, the thing. My wife would tell you a story about the Rav of a shul where the president requested that since he doesn't have much to do all day, he should sweep the floors. I mean, what are you doing anyway? You're sitting around the room. Why don't you sweep the floors? Okay. He then described the Kavod HaTorah that was in Europe, in his town, little hick town. Okay, I'm not going to go into what it was, but obviously the difference. And he said the reason for it is very simple. He says, in Europe there was a lot of Torah. The world lives on Torah. Without Torah there's no world. So there's a lot of Torah, it doesn't have to be so pure. In America there was very little Torah at that time. After the war everything was wiped out. There was very little Torah in the world. So it has to be Lishma. Totally Lishma. Now some people maintain that Arayim, but that's... The truth is, if you work it out, it's cost ineffective, I think, at the whatever it is, to be able to support a yeshiva. Especially a top-notch yeshiva, which would, let's say, you want to put only 10, 15 kids in a 20 kids in a class, right? You want to give the Rebbe $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, right? That's, that would be a fair package, right? Well, we will agree to it, right? That means each kid's got to pay $4,000 just to meet the Rebbe's salary. What do you do about the English teacher? What do you do about the office? What do you do about the building upkeep? What do you think? That means you're talking now about making $20,000, $30,000 a year tuition, which is what we're all hacking at Chanik, you know, that nobody can afford the tuition anymore, right? So we have a galgal achoizer. It's a big problem. I'm not going to say this. Obviously, in richer communities, they pay a decent salary. But again, the richer community, like fine people in California, right? You have a yeshiva in California. It costs $3,000 a month rent there, $4,000 a month rent. So you're starting for rent alone is $48,000. So they got to pay me $100,000, but $100,000, I don't eat any better than the guy on the east side, on the east coast, earning $35,000 or $40,000. Because the cost of living is that much higher for Fumadai and stuff like that. So you can't make a cloud of what they're paying, but obviously that's low. It's not an emes acheshbon. It happens to be the particular people I'm talking about are not necessarily made that they have givirim. So in their package, they want to make sure that the Rebbe at least can have a livable salary. So in that, and a lot of them live on food stamps and Faction Aid and all these things, so they figure that into the package. Most of us don't live in that type of a community, and therefore it is, but it's tight, because they're not going to give you the $60,000. They're going to give you the $40,000. And $40,000 basically covers my rent, maybe my insurance, and now I'm finished. There's nothing more I can do. That's the problem. But that's, I don't think it's a problem on the school, that's what I'm saying. I mean, unless that's their attitude, no matter how many millions we got, we're not giving you a penny more. That's a different story. I mean, that's a different attitude.
But she even mentioned before about punishing by taking away something that they deserve. Is that a right way to punish it? If someone worked, he learned good for a week, and then Friday he did something crazy,
Well, and he has to understand that in the world, well, you could do something else, but I don't think we're God. You know, I spent about the problem that God is not a vatron. In other words, the Benjamin will pay you 100% for all the mitzvahs you got, and for the one aveira you got, you're going to get punished for it 100%. You're not going to, you're not a bad guy. You're really a good guy, but you just did one aveira. Some God says, let's forget it. God is not a vatron. And we sometimes do that. You have a good kid, doesn't have, sometimes overlook it. Right, so but that's not the Rebbeinu Shalom. Obviously, when this kid did something, he did something more than just something we can overlook. We can't overlook it. So once we can't overlook it, so we can do it two ways. We can give him a neinish that I can't figure out what we would give him. I mean, if you think about it, or we try at least to cancel out the teivara, and it'll be it, because we're definitely willing to make that deal with a Kodesh Baruch. The Bishop's not a Vatron. But if you'll ask me, you know, I have 1,000 mitzvahs and one Avere. God, just give me 999 mitzvahs of Schar and forget about it. Right? That's what I would like to make that deal with him. So I think it's an easier punishment than the other one. It's not really taking away from him. You want to say, don't acknowledge him afterwards that he did it. Let's say, for instance, he learned Mishnah about Pes, something like that, where he deserves a monetary award, also there's covenant. The covet I can't take away from you, and since you did it. But the monetary reward I don't have to give you. Whatever it is.
A Talmud that is a Yerei Shamayim that wants to go to a quality yeshiva, but his parents are very against it, and want him to go to a school with girls and drugs. After... I don't know if there's a correlation. After conventional diplomacy fails, may the Rebbe tell the Talmud to ignore his parents.
That's a dangerous one. I think it's going down on the tape. I want you to know. No, but this one is, because we see a funny phenomenon in the world. The Michal Shabbos, who wants his kid to go with him on a trip on Shabbos, and the kid said, "I can't because it's Shabbos," will say, "You know, didn't they teach you have to respect your father and mother? Right? Okay. They ask you that kasha all the time. We know that Torah says meferish, you don't have to respect your father and mother in that sense. What do you mean? I don't have to listen to them. Because Ishima Vyoviv Thoreau, so obviously, when you're telling me to do something against the Torah, I don't have to listen. So that's the, that the chayra, I would not have to listen. But let's be realistic. You know, when you have direct challenge to the parents, makes that the kid, that the parents go nuts. We have such a case, in Jersey, what is it? I pick on a Markham. Alright. Place, a kid comes from a Chal Shabbos home. Tarfus home. Right? Kid's 7 years old, 8 years old. What should I teach him? Should I teach him not allowed to eat treif? If I teach him that, and the kid comes home to his parents and he says, you know, I can't eat this. And the mother says, who said you can't eat this? He says, they taught me that in school. You're not going back to school tomorrow. Right? So obviously that's not a very smart thing to put him completely against his parents. There's plenty of mitzvahs in the Torah besides kashrus. That doesn't mean I'm allowed to skip kashrus. I'm not allowed to say, you know, kashrus, listen to your parents. That I can't do, because it's against the Torah. But I don't have to talk about that mitzvah. I can talk about Yontif, and I can talk about other mitzvahs involved. Instead of bringing this up, where I put him in direct contact, in, whatever you call it, connected his parents, directly connected his parents, in conflict with his parents. The same thing, I think, here, you're dealing with the Indian of conflict. I mean, you know, so if I have to use my seichel, and how to talk to the parents to convince them that, look, your kid wants to go to the school. If he goes over there, he won't perform, whatever it is, there, and see what happens. Now, the kid himself has the ability to do what he wants. I've had, when I first started teaching my first year in teaching in Highlight, there was one kid, I remember, they told me there were 16 on the roster, and came in, there was 15 kids there. Not one guy was not there. So they told me he comes after Sukkos. He says, why does he come after Sukkos? Because his parents put him into public school, and it takes two after Sukkos for him to fight him by not going to public school, that they finally agree to have him go to yeshiva. This is year after year after year. Okay, so the kid has the biggest power over his parents, in the sense, I'm not going. They can't do anything to me. But if you're talking about that they'll be able to convince me, or the kid is chicken, if you want to put it that way, that he can't fight his parents, what am I going to give him to fight? First, they'll put me in jail for that. It's not that those are offense. Those are the ones like you steal the kid to keep him for Shabbos, you kidnap him, and whatever it is, then you ship him out of the country. So many guys sat in jail for that, that we know about. You know, you have to put yourself in that matzah.
The boy's not mitzvah,
and he's able to fight back. I don't have to give him advice to fight back. Let him fight back. I mean, if the kid will ask me a shayla, am I allowed to fight back? Yes, there's no mitzvah kibbutzim. No mitzvah kibbutzim. I tell him, go beat him up. I'm not going
to
tell him that.
You definitely have to support the man behind him too.
That will feed you, will take care of you, whatever it is there. But we're not telling you do something. I'm telling you, you're going to get into a lot of trouble with that legally. It's not a push in the mice. You have to use seichel in this.
Go ahead.
Averis that we know the bach can do. We're in a, let's say it's a day school, but it's a separate day school, meaning the boys are in a different, totally different yeshiva, but in the summers they're with girls. Is there tayalas in telling them these halachas, or teaching halachas of the averis that we know for sure whether they're going to hear what we say or not, they're still going to continue to do it?
So what's the tayalas? Why should we make him a dafke mezidim? If we can help him conquer it, be beyond it, then I hear there's an eitzah. Why do we got to tell him? But if I'm only going to tell it to now, you know, you're going to do that, you're going to have it. But I know you're going to do it anyway.
But there's always one or two in a room with you.
So then it's not. Then I don't know they're going to do it.
No,
so I'm
good. But we talk about it, you can sacrifice that and cut the class.
There's no such things. And if it's two guys, I know that for sure won't do it. And 18, I know that will do it. I talk to the two separately.
Not both.
What was the point? What is the point?
You never know who to...
So that's what I'm telling you. Each guy's a Sophic. You can't tell me I know for sure that at least 15 guys are going to be able to be Avevis. If you tell me I can't point them out, so then I don't know if anyone's going to be able to be Avevis.
But if it's a Sophic, and then there's a Sophic about the Roy, and it's a Yehuda that we know for sure not going to listen to this.
Do you know who they are?
We know who the Yechidim are that are for sure going to do it.
You do? So then talk to the other guys. Don't talk to those guys. What's the point of talking to them? You're just killing them. You know, the thing though. I mean, in some way they have to learn the emes, but we have a lot of building up to do before we're going to get down to that. But
what did Reb Moshe mean when he said by Parshas Emor that Emor teaches us that a Kohen and a Rebbe should feel his work is easy, or he shouldn't be doing the job? Literally easy, or easy compared with the potential spiritual gain?
I have no idea about that. Could be, but I never saw it, so I can't answer. I don't know. If someone read it that way, you know, since to me at the moment I don't understand it, I don't know if I'd read it that way. That's all I can tell you. Yeah, that doesn't mean the thing, but I don't know what it means. His word of Amat, I know.
Oh, the
Emor Lakehanim.
The Rebbetzin wants to be heard.
At the end, he notices Moshe when he talks about Pasha's Emor. At the end, he has a whole paragraph about people in Emor. That may be what is being referred to.
Yeah, he's talking about the Rebbetzin.
But I don't know it. So I don't know.
You have to be Moshe.
All right.
That's for posterity.
Okay.
If someone is teaching in an out-of-town day school, is it counterproductive to tell your children, I assume the Talmidos, what you disagree with from the teacher's school? Correct me if I'm wrong, whoever handed this in. Are you asking the Rosh Yeshiva, is it counterproductive to tell your students?
Yeah, your children.
You mean your personal children?
And, you know, you don't agree with all the hashkafas.
Personal children.
Your children know what you disagree with and what you don't disagree with. Or is it better that they should always feel that you believe everything the teacher has
No, obviously not in this day and age, but that's not the point. But if once we let that go over to Hefkeris, I'll give you go into a yeshiva where it's a tremendous a fully yeshivish community. And not everybody's, and of the, let's say there's 100 Yungalite, of which 8 got picked to be the Rebbeim, and the other 92 say, I'm bigger than these 8, right? And every time the kid comes up with a shtickel gemara and he's going to say to me, and everyone is going to say, that Rebbe don't know what he's talking about, he doesn't know how to learn. And this happens all the time. It's exactly the same thing you're asking me, except in a more modern context. What you do have to do, in learning, I don't know if you have to do. I don't think you have to fight with the Rebbe because unless you hold shabeshtik, even the old, you'll never fix it later. Whatever it is, that basically, so you got to tell them there's another way of learning, maybe. But you have to answer the question like the way the Rebbe asked the question. You know, there's a lot of times. I mean, I have grandchildren that go to schools in the Beis Yankivs, and they have halacha Rebbeim, right? Who pick up the halacha somewhere or other. Right, we know our halachas come from one yisurit, from one source, and what they asa was sometimes a matter. So when the Rebbe or the teacher says a halacha, this is the halacha, she says, Mora or Rebbe, in our family we don't do that. And he says, that's treif, that's also, you don't know what you're doing, you're a machalish. I'm telling you, that's exactly what happens. So good. So you tell now. So if you we got our kids to handle it perfectly, you have no problem. You answer the question on the test. You answer the way they do. Some, if I have a wise guy, a grandchild, who will answer it, that according that the halacha is this and this, but the answer for your question is this. And this. Okay. So, I mean, depends what you're doing. I mean, that, but you know, we all got them.
Yeah.
It's not really, because you're saying there's different interpretations, there's different ways to learn, there's different hagim. We all know there's Hasidic minhagim and Litvish minhagim and Yekesh minhagim and things like that. So I'm saying, you know, we happen to go to school with it. This is what they teach you there, but we do it a little different in the house and whatever it is in there.
In the day school, with Yom HaAtzmaut, is one mechuyav to say Hallel with one's class, if that's what the school holds?
Does everybody hear the question?
No.
All right, let me repeat it.
Is this an Agudic organization here, or is it not an organization that we're dealing with?
In Yom HaAtzmaut, if in a Jewish day school, or in a cheder, depending where it is, if it's the minhag...
Now, I don't think they're called cheder, though.
If it's the minhag on Yom HaAtzmaut to say Hallel, I assume without a bracha, of course.
Don't assume anything. Okay. That they make a bracha.
Okay. If it's the minhag, does the teacher have to say Hallel with the class?
Teacher definitely doesn't have to say Hallel. The only thing is they'll fire you. So that's my question. In other words, how much of my mechiyef be meisa nefesh on to do these things? Are these halachas l'maisa? That's firing you. Three of them, you're out. You know, this is one. You know, whatever it is. I mean, it's not obviously. You're not with the. We're not with the Elam. You know, you're not. Okay, you know, I hope the principal has more seichel than to sign this thing to certain people, because you go out and they daven everybody together with an assembly, and then the teachers are all free. You know, don't have this problem. They just have to walk around. Hallel happens to be a problem with saying Hallel. Why do we have a machlekes about this for? You know, you guys want to say Hallel. What do we care? Yeah? Because obviously saying Hallel in a time that you're not supposed to say Hallel, you're not allowed to say Hallel. That's the problem. So what's being said is, you know, so Hallel has to be this order of Tillim in this order. If I skip one, it's not Hallel anymore. So if you're really stuck for your job, you can start the pieces, don't finish them, whatever it is there, the thing. The kids, I hope, are saying it by themselves. Well, if they're not, then forget it. I mean, I don't have to say it either. I mean, what do you want? They only want me to say it. I mean, the kids are not saying, only I'm going to say it. I mean, that's for sure not. You know. I'm sorry? It doesn't help. If you say only these kapitlach, now take a look at the Orcha Shulchan, the Gabidin of Psukkah the Zimr, even. The Shaila, he learns his machlekes with a Gainim. If, let's say, someone comes in late, and, can he make it up after davening? The Orcha Shulchan holds you should not make it up after davening, because it's an Issa to make it up.
Yes, sir.
Issa, yeah. Not just, you know, you don't have to. It's also. So therefore what it means is not trying to teach you kula, is you better get there on time. That's all I mean to tell you.
So why isn't it Lipnei either?
What?
To come to class, do something you hold.
Yeah, they have rabbis, it's nothing with me. They have rabbis.
At lunchtime, we're in a school where I was there, everyone benches together, with the younger grade, they bench together. So those children didn't eat bread. So should they be benching without saying Shem Hashem to everyone?
How could they do it without saying Shem Hashem? It's a bit of a shayla. I'll give you more of them if you want. Kid, teacher in the pre-1A. I don't know how old are kids in pre-1A. Four? Five? Okay. What's kindergarten is for? Okay.
Kindergarten is pre-1A. Most school.
Well, you guys, my kids have been going to school since 1 year old. I mean,
Pre-K is
4 years old, okay. And whatever it is, 4 year olds are teaching them brachas. Right? They're not chinuch. They're not higil chinuch. If you teach them the brachas, say Baruch, Atah, in the right way, Shem Lekenu, you had an Isav, a bracha levatole. I teach it to a 6 year old, then it's a mitzvah. I say to him, without bread, there's no bread here, nothing. Boys, I want you to know, girls, I want you to know that if you eat bread, you got to say, Baruch, Atah, Hashem, and this is the thing. I tell it to 4 year olds, I'm even Aveira. I tell it to 6 year olds, I got a mitzvah. And the thing over there. So what do you have to do? So that when I teach it to four-year-olds, I got to eat myself. So the mother always got to make sure that she's eating herself whenever he has to do these teachings. I don't know how that fits in with the curriculum. But I'm saying, but that's basically what you have. That's one of the problems.
That's with every bracha, like let's say to write menorah, pachanata, just to practice?
You can't, there's no practice for four-year-olds. That's the part that I'm trying to tell you.
How do you, five going on six?
That I know, whatever.
What do you say, Hashem instead of Hashem?
Well, Hashem, you say Hashem instead. Well, that you're not allowed to teach them all together because that's not a bracha. You want a kid? You know, you ever see these kids for bar mitzvahs? Mitzvah kids start to talk. Right? Okay, I mean.
How do you practice?
I'm allowed to practice. If it's when I din, I'm allowed to practice. Baruch atah Hashem. I don't want to say the words, but Hashem Melkeinu Melech Olam. That's so I should learn how to say it when I have to say it.
From what age or not?
When every age it is, whatever I don't know it is. So you have an Eitzah. This is my father's an Eitzah. When you have to make a bracha somewhere where it's a shayla in a conservative place or something, or it's a shayla, the kedushin being a kedushin. So you have to. So you have to go like this. The Gemara in Kedushin in Ksubis says you make seven brachas for chas kakala. The first one is v'hatah Hashem lehemach, and then it's called lemidat teira. But you have to figure out how to do these things. You can't just make brachas because it's brachas.
At what age can you start saying Hashem?
Huh?
At what age can you start saying Hashem with children?
About six for sure.
Five is the
subject? Five would be because you have to be exceptionally bright for five.
But six.
Six is the Kulam. Unless the dummies is seven. Five, six, seven. Five, six, seven is the shield. Huh?
How about a child that's mentally challenged at 12 years old, 13 years old?
If he's chayv mitzvahs, meaning that the Rav Paskin is chayv mitzvahs, then I have to teach it to him. Then he's not a shaita. He has to be taught. A kid but less than 4 or 5 years old is not. There's no chinuch. There's no chiv on me to teach him anything, or maybe I'm not allowed to teach him anything. I can teach him Torah, I can tell him mitzvahs, I can tell him there's ideas and concepts, but not brachas, not Shem Hashem's.
Okay. I still can get, how do you practice the brachas for the menorah?
Well, I know what's the problem. These kids, are these kids chayiv to do the menorah? Are they going to do the menorah tonight, or they're girls, and you're having a family that didn't let the girls do menorah?
Yes.
Which one, yes?
Yes, they will be doing it at night.
They'll be doing it at night. So if they're 6-year-olds, then you're saying 5 years, I don't think I would do it.
So we don't practice this at all with them?
Why do you have to practice with them? That's only practicing it for the principal. I mean, that's what he's telling you. We have to teach, we'd have to teach holidays. We're not teaching, we're going to teach the mitzvah.
Home should not be like it.
We together give them the menorah. We get there at Tzeisik HaChavim, and now we say we're all going to light the menorah together, each one his own menorah, and say, let's go, Baruch, Atah, and then we find it. Well, that's wonderful. Well, that's what I'm saying. I say you got plenty of problems. So that's now you're teaching, why is the guy making the older kids bench when he knows half of them didn't eat?
Just half.
Right? Because he's lazy. I got to teach him how to bench. I mean, you got to figure out what are you trying to do here?
Because the other children will just, they're sitting around.
Let them sit around. So what's the difference? What's the problem?
They don't eat bread because I don't want to bench.
Yeah. So I'm not sitting on the bench. They're good. I have to force them to eat.
Yeah.
Why do I have to force them to eat to make bread?
Learn
you can teach it. I'll wait till he's 10 years old for that. What do I have to do with now when I'm 5 years old for?
Even third grade.
I mean, so you tell them, you know, guys, you chayv them when you make eat bread, you have to bench. So far, you guys who didn't eat bread, don't bench. Well, what's so hard today? I'm telling you,
we have one at a time, please.
I mean, I don't hear anything wrong with teaching kids right then.
How can we strengthen tzniyus where the atmosphere is lacking?
Oh, good. Okay. Good.
Had a session on Friday about how to strengthen
faith.
Oh, see? Okay.
Saved by the bell.
Great. Thank you.
During snack time, the children eat snacks from home. There is a class rule that snacks from home are not to be shared.
The children often ask me if the snack they brought is kosher. What is a good way to have the child dispose of or not eat non-kosher food brought to school?
Simply don't let in snacks brought from home.
At all?
At all. In other words, please send a quarter, or half a dollar, I don't know what snacks cost anymore, and the thing over there, and for us to be given the snacks that are approved by the school. You have a shul, how many shul you have it, how many restaurants, no outside food allowed. Shul says you can't, no matter who you are, I mean the fumster person in the world, you cannot bring anything in except by their approved caterer. Why can't that be done in the school? Yeah.
In the school, they do allow outside snacks, but only with, they give a list of the kosher symbols, and the kid comes with something that only has a cane, no star.
So obviously it's not the caterer. Why don't you tell the principal, why are we knocking ourselves out and having the things which we can't enforce? Let's do it the right way, and let's not anything in here.
Does one take away the snack? Does one let the child...
I don't know. I don't know who says it's treif, but I'm not just saying, But why get involved in shilas? If I take it away, I'm a gazel. If I don't take it away, I'm either letting the kid eat tough. I don't have to stop him. That you should know. I mean, I hate to tell you these halachas. The chinuch is only on the father. The mother too, maybe. Maybe. In other words, problem. Okay? We live in New York City. My husband is taking my son to shul, and he's going to get hungry during the 3 hours he's going to be in shul. I want him to take a little snack along. What do I do? How do I give him the snack? I can't give it to him in his hand. I can leave it on the table, and he can take it. Yom Kippur! I have my kids. Little kids who can't eat by themselves, I'm allowed to feed. That's a din of sakonis and fashis. Any kid that can eat by himself, go to the refrigerator. I do not give them food. Tough stuff. That's right, but I'm not allowed to give them because the kid has an avera too. Except on Yom Kippur, the shaylis, we don't get punished for it. But the thing is, I can't give it to them.
Is it only the parents?
Only parents.
But someone else can give.
No, no. Someone else is also can't. The Yadayim cannot give. That's what we learn from the three psukim of the thing there. Of the thing. You don't really want to get into the whole shaila of people get avaris as kids. But Pashtus Tesvis holds, others hold, that a kid that does an avera, he did an avera, but he doesn't get punished for it. In other words, he ate treif. He doesn't get punished for it. But I can't give him to eat treif because it's still an avera of eating treif.
Even lo yigiluchim.
What? Even lo yigiluchim. Yeah. And timtun alev will exist on the kid.
1 second, just somebody who hasn't asked yet. Yes.
I'm not a kind of, I'm a psychologist, but I'm here to present, but I'm representing, I think, a problem that we're seeing and wondering how it can help. There's been a dramatic increase in my practice and the practice of my colleagues of kids from yeshivas struggling with various issues with types, whether it's gender rights issues, homosexuality, or what they think it is, molestation, various kinds of things. I mean, it's staggering, the increase. And in the spirit of prevention, I mean, I guess we have to try to clean up the mess as clinicians, but in the spirit of prevention, would it make sense? The Mahantim, the Gedolim, and the mental health professionals got together and developed a curriculum for the children to discover them, to deal with the priestess and everything they see out there. Can we formally, is there a point to formally do this in the educational system to help with this issue?
Okay, step one of this formal institution that we're going to form. No televisions, what he calls in the city, internets, no cable, no anything else. Throw them out. Okay? But I don't live in that community. So what am I going to do? So you're not telling me what to do, how to solve the problem. You're telling me there's a problem. These kids are exposed to all the Taibis Oilam, and they talk about it, and they practice it, and they want to see Taki, what is everybody knocking themselves out? Is it so enjoyable as everyone says it is? I haven't figured out the answer. I don't think anybody in the world is going to figure out the answer. What you have to do is talk to each individual kid, and each parent has to talk to his kids and her kids, and to know there are things out there that you're not supposed to do, and whatever it is, and we don't want to do it. Kids generally listen. That's if your parents outside from the school are not in opposition. Some parents, like I think was mentioned before, was a case, what happens, we want to send them to a school that there's boys and dope and girls and dope and everything else. That's exactly what you have. Don't tell me these things. You're what I am there. I'm going to watch television in my house with all the schmutz, and I want my kid to see it. Right, what are you going to do then? So I'm saying that the Gedolim ain't going to help that. That's a story that you have to talk to each individual person, to talk to him, try to make him see the light. What are you crazy? What are you making your kid sick? He's going to go in. He wanted to spend 20 years in jail for being a molester. What are you nuts for? So go on. Maybe the guy will listen. Okay, well, should I reject the kid? No. I mean, if that's getting down to the point, what about the kid who does get him? I'm in these schools where they do have these kids. Obviously, I'm going to have the kid, I'm going to teach the kid, and I'm going to try to teach him what's right and wrong. Hopefully, he'll be mekabel. If he won't be mekabel everything, he'll be mekabel 80%, 70%. When he gets a little older, maybe he'll become the other 20, 30%. What else am I going to do?
Is it permitted as a mechanic to talk about this in front of the classroom?
It depends what. There was a Shiley many years ago. Okay? I'm not talking about, not even going about this thing. You know, and the people that go to mikveh every day, right? And most communities have only one burr. And you have 30 kids going in naked into this burr, one after the other. Right? Those people need speeches about Nishkev Zohar and everything else because their communities are such set up that way. On the other hand, I don't have a mikveh, I don't have this. Should I talk about Mishkev Zohar? No, because if I'm going to talk about it, the guy's going to say, what are you talking about? Is there such a thing? No kidding, let me find out about it. Right? Now, obviously, certain things are brought down in Tanakh anyway. We're talking about in Chumash. I'm not mechuyev to hide which state. Right? I don't have to be descriptive either. And
was anything with boys and girls together talking, what there is also, I'm saying, are you allowed to discuss this in class?
Well, definitely, you know that it's usher. I mean, we assume that we all know it's usher. I don't think there's any one kid in any school, no matter where they come from, that does not know it's usher. They may think you're nuts. They may think it's anything else. We have to do this on a sneak. But they all know it's not approved. That they know. And then you have to be very convincing about why not. In other words, over there, because you're not ready for it, it's on to get into problems, you're too young to get involved in problems, you don't know, it'll kill your life forever. And that's one way of talking to the kid. The kid says, who cares about tomorrow? I'm dying today. Then you can't talk to anybody like that.
So it is permitted to talk?
Sure it's permitted. Why is it not permitted? But the only question is there the te'elis in it? That you have to evaluate before you do anything. Am I going to gain anything from it?
Anybody else? Okay, I'd like to... Sorry.
But that would be like with any kind of... They'll say if you have a non-promise class. That's how promise are started.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you start teaching Shabbos and Kashrus and everything.
But which ones do I teach first? The ones.
The whole school. Let's say your whole class is non-promise. I'm not saying that's...
Yes, I told you how old they are. Depends how old they are. So obviously, if the kids that the parents schlep them out to the beach every Shabbos, I'm not going to talk about Shabbos. And if I do talk about Shabbos, I'll talk about going to shul on Shabbos. But I'm not going to talk about they can't go to the beach on Shabbos. You can't ride in the car on Shabbos because then the kid's not going to be in the school anymore. I mean, you have to know where you're there. Now, you're dealing with a 15-year-old, then of course I'm going to talk about it. Yeah.
First grader that comes and tells you in
front
of the whole class.
First.
Blatantly, that they did their homework on Shabbos for blatant school Shabbos. Does the teacher react or not? And if yes.
The teacher does not react, it says. I mean, she has to do something about it. Doesn't mean react. I think you mean by reaction means what?
No. Does the teacher say anything?
I'm sure the teacher says something. I want you to know it was Shabbos. You don't do homework on Shabbos. What Shabbos, teacher? Teach, that's the day you're off from school. That chaps. What else am I going to tell you to tell them? But you have to tell them something that they can understand and relate to.
We'd like to thank the Rosh Yeshiva. Wish everybody. We have a lot of malka for you.
I'm glad that I just asked that question.
Oh, wow. That was perfect.
For anyone who
I
didn't
just
know
hope that the principal asked his Rosh Hashiva what the din is. I mean, or he decided himself, this is my Wednesday, this was my Friday. I know what my Wednesday. Friday was that even the big shots are also guys who don't have a Rebbe and they decide themselves what's good.
It's good for Chinuch. And every half of the one, every issue you want to teach with 3 or 6 make a broch on Mazonis.
Without eating himself?
The mother. The kids eat exactly everybody. The kid eats. So it looks like a fast. But every house is doing it.
So every house is doing wrong. What am I going to do?
Just the last two words you're using with the Shem Hashem.
No, it's the Hashem I'm talking about. What did they make him a Zionist?
No, no, but yeah.
But the guy said, well, so you want, if you want to teach him, take a piece of the Zionist with him and say, let's make a book on the Zionist. And next time when he takes his book, don't forget to make him a Zionist. And then I can do it. It
takes a bunch of times to teach him.
So you'll have to eat a lot of cake.
By Shabbos and Shuvos, there was discussion about whether it's a chizus cover for the Rebbe. We discussed an avera that the Rebbe was might have been nichshol, and discussed with the class and how. So I don't know what averas are told.
I don't know what they were talking about either. When we was this
by the Thursday night, I don't know what averas are told. I wanted to ask Shuvos specifically about watching television, about discussing with the
class. I don't know about that. I'll tell you just the mice from.
Don't tell me that.
See, I don't know about Uri, what's his name?
Zohar.
If he fits into the parasha, he doesn't fit into the parasha. Yeshiva said, the pasuk says, Vayelech Omen Bechatez Menashe Oder. Omen was 11 years old when he became king. His father was the children for 33 years. That means before Omen was born, Menashe was doing tshuva for 20 odd years already. And yet it says, Vayelech Bechatez Menashe Oder. It says, why you say Bechatez Menashe Oder? Say, well, no, he was a sheyitz. What's it got to do with his father? He says, because Menashe was the paper around and said, you know, when I, 30 years ago, I used to do a little zoro over there. But, didn't pay. Over there, we used to go to the Zion house. Didn't pay. The kid looks at him and says, Dad, you don't know what the fun is. You became an old fogey. That's your fault. Dude. I'm going to try all these things myself. That's the Bechatez Menashe Oder. Okay. When you speak about all these things, very nice. You did it. You were able to become a good guy again and everything else. So, obviously, I'm not a lost soul if I do it. So, why shouldn't I do it?
That's not that you became good, but just that you were able to.
I understand. So, why talk about it? You talk about
to relate
things.
With them.
Yeah, but. Yeah, but
you know about giving.
What's the difference? I'm a Chochem Godel. What do you mean? I'm one of
what did they say? And did you watch it? And it's always what they say.
I discovered what it was all about. And that's why I watched to see what it was all about. And I saw it, and I'm telling you, you're not allowed to watch it. Not that I'm the censor, you know, that I say, let's see what's good and no good. Not that I'm playing it down. This thing that, I heard it was this thing, TV, Mevetveg, and that's what it's all about. And I said, I saw it, and I'm talking, you're not allowed to watch it.
They're also going to want to see it.
If they want to do that one time, I don't know.
Rebbe, you spend a lot of time watching.
But I would rather them. No, I said, absolutely not. It was in that 1 minute that I saw it was enough to say that you can't watch TV.
Even though the person did watch.
What's that different? What do you want about? Let's know.
What if it was about Shiva? And the insecure school.
But that's what we're talking about. He shouldn't talk about that. About his chatoyim in the school. Menashe was also about tshuva. Anything. So because the people say, well, you became about tshuva. Well, he's old. I became a tzaddik. I can do it for at least 30 years until I become about tshuva. And the thing over there. Now I'm saying, but he's so known that he's about tshuva. So I don't know if there's any, you know, anything that you can do more, well, harm more or less. You know what I mean? But the but to dashing about, I don't know about Takel, they should be talking about always his learning and his this and that. And then
so,
wouldn't
so you could say that I heard about it.
I heard exactly what it is.
After 1 minute, I saw what's
people were talking about the same thing. I have to teach it, so I went to check it. I checked it, and it was terrible. Daya, listen, I'm still on.
I'm trying to point it the other direction
because it's.
Yes, that's it.